Man. Resurrect Republic Radio.
That's cool. Thank you. That's cool for you too, Bill.
Yeah. Alright, so running a little bit late this morning. Coming to another press conference that's happening down here. Hopefully you can find the truth here, if you're looking for it. We try to get the whole truth and nothing but the truth here, but we're late for this one, so hopefully it doesn't get doctored into something that's not true like some other things have been. Appreciate you watching. Gonna beat media.
Because of that, I came to some conclusions, and I shared some of these conclusions before, but I concluded that it appeared in history that man is not happy unless he has an agent. That He is a subject to misery unless he's free. And that was one thing that I could see in history and have learned in history, that man is not happy unless he has an agency. And two, that in every part of history, in every aspect of society, there has always been powers, groups of men and women that are trying to take away the agency of man. And that is something that always realize that this has happened from the beginning of time until now. And then three, the third thing that I began to see and realize and understand as we studied history and society, is that if man does not stand actively against those who are willing to take away their freedom and striving to do so, that that freedom will be taken. And that it is required of man, required of him, to stand and fight for his agency, that he cannot stand still. We know that there will be a time after this life that we can rest, and that is the rest of the Lord. There will become a time when we can rest and not have to fight for our freedoms and our agencies and be actively protecting them. But it will not happen in this life, and we must remember that. And so those are my thoughts today, and I'll turn the time over to my dad for any questions and to say what he would like to.
Okay, this is David Knight with InfoWars, and we are here waiting for the sheriff to arrive to meet with Mr. Bundy here at the Bundy Ranch. Actually, we're just outside the Bundy Ranch at the demonstration area. That's the back of the sign up there. This is the crowd, quite a large crowd. There was a couple of observation posts that were discovered last night. They saw some rangers walking away from them. They went over and discovered the observation posts, and I was told that they put some cow feces in there for them, because that's basically, I guess, what they've been feeding us here. So we're going to see what the sheriff has to say. And we've seen a lot of SWAT trucks up in Mesquite, which is the major city that's closest to this area. This area is called Bunkerville. That's the name of the town. What do you see?
See all those jets?
Yeah, we got a lot of jets up there. Very high. Even though this is a no-fly zone. They just made this a no-fly zone yesterday, but we do have jets flying over the area. So presumably, if it's a no-fly zone, those are the jets that are either policing the no-fly zone for the government, or they are observation jets for the government, because they're not allowing news media to fly over the area, and they're not allowing planes that were looking for Mr. Bundy's cattle to try to locate them before the BLM steals them. So they declared that no-fly zone area. But we still have jets flying overhead. So,
well, the no-fly zone doesn't extend up to 35,000 feet.
Oh, okay.
A confrontation in Nevada this morning threatens to become a modern-day range war. The government is taking away a rancher's herd, and tensions are running quite high. Terry Okita is in Bunkerville, Nevada. That's about 80 miles, rather, northeast of Las Vegas. Terry, good morning to you.
Good morning. Rancher Cliven Bundy says the land that I'm standing on right now has been in his family for generations, since the 1870s. And in his mind, he's not just fighting some unfair fees. He's fighting to keep Uncle Sam out of everyone's backyard.
Tensions reached the boiling point earlier this week.
Get out of here, you coward!
After simmering for years in a Nevada turf battle, pitting rancher Cliven Bundy against the federal government.
We haven't lost this battle. We're just barely begun.
U.S. Rangers are rounding up Bundy's cattle, claiming he has been illegally grazing his herds on 600,000 acres of federal lands for two decades. The Bureau of Land Management, or BLM, says Bundy's unpaid land use fees total over $1 million. Bundy says he doesn't have to pay because he has no contract with the federal government.
The money's not the deal, the cows are not the deal, it's freedom and liberty and access to our land and get rid of this abusive government.
Two federal judges issued orders last year that if the 67-year-old rancher did not remove his cattle from the land, they could be seized. The seizure began on Saturday. Demonstrators have rallied to support Bundy, leading to an altercation with law enforcement officials on Wednesday, when one of Bundy's sons was tased after kicking a police dog.
Then they tased me again, okay? And they pulled it out again, probably because I didn't drop on the ground.
You need to leave now!
Thank you very much. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, perfect.
No. Hey. As you clearly know, I am anything but a professional at communication or media or anything like that. I was raised a cowboy. And my trade with heavy decent attorney. I'm an American, and I'm not a professional at communicating, so I ask you to bear with me. I do have a few announcements. We will be holding a press conference at 1 o'clock every day. We went 1:30 today because of the need for preparation. Each time we hold a press conference, we'll be informing people of what's going on the best we can. We're not going to be able to touch on everything, but we're going to inform it the best we can of the main events and the things that are happening. I do have an agenda that I've jotted down, but again, I want you to understand that I'm not a professional. I'm an American, and it's as difficult for me to be here and risk my livelihood as it is for everybody else. Which brings me to my first point. I want to recognize the tremendous support that the community has given us and the strength that it has given me and my family to know that you love us and that you support us. Thank you. First on the list here is I want to talk about...
Hey, hold that a little closer to your mouth.
Okay. You hear that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
First on the list, I want to talk about our First Amendment rights. We have the right to be here. And the BLM obviously does not respect the Constitution of the United States. Otherwise, they would have not made this little box for us and expect us to stay in it.
That's right!
It's disgusting of how they must think of the Constitution. Okay, we have the right to express. We have the right to let people know and let our politicians and let all the people in whole world how we feel. That is our right under the Constitution of the United States, and we will not let that be taken from us.
That's right.
Okay? Yeah. Woo! Woo!
So this is the freedom that we have in America right here. This is our we're going to be have our freedom inside of that fence there.
Bunkerville rancher Cliven Bundy thinks the federal government has gone too far in preparing to round up his cattle. Example, this is one of two designated spots where the public will be allowed to protest the roundup. A sign inside the fence shows how some people feel about a First Amendment zone. And during our tour with Bundy, a passerby stopped to offer encouragement.
I'm one of your neighbors. I get to look at that every day in my life. Hang in there.
Okay, thank you.
Miles away, just off the interstate, another fenced area is where media are allowed. Armed agents in trucks form a wall to prevent anyone from approaching what resembles a military staging area, the heart of the Bundy Roundup operation. More rangers sit at every road leading into the 600,000-acre Gold Butte area to prevent the general public from coming in.
With all of these rangers and all this force that's out here, they're only after one man right now. Who do you think they're after? They're after Cliven Bundy. Whether they want to incarcerate me or whether they want me to shoot me in the back, they're after me. But that's not all that's at stake here. Your liberty and freedoms are at stake.
Bundy's had a long time to sharpen his message. The fight has been building since 1993 when BLM changed grazing rules for Gold Butte to protect the endangered desert tortoise. Bundy refused to go along and stopped paying his fees altogether. Since then, the BLM and federal courts have ordered him to stop letting his cattle roam through Gold Butte. And he's ignored the orders because he doesn't recognize federal authority over the land.
My forefathers have been up and down the Virgin Valley here ever since 1877. All these rights that I claim have been created through preemptive rights and beneficial use of the forage and the water. I have been here longer. My rights are all older than BLM even existed.
All right, my name is Ryan Bundy. I'm the son of Cliven Bundy, and we live on a ranch in Clark County, Nevada.
There's a lot of news out there saying that you guys didn't actually get on the land. They channeled in some article about how you guys were from Arizona and whatnot. Can you clear that up?
Sure, I can. Okay, if you're following the Bundy family, we originally came from Nebraska. And my my great-great-grandmother joined the Mormon Church, the LDS Church. The missionaries were back there. They were originally from Bunkerville, the missionary was. And my grandmother joined the Mormon Church in Nebraska. Now, she wanted to come west, and my grandfather did not. He did not join the church. Until there was an incident, people were mean to my grandmother, and so he said, all right, let's go west. And on the trail, he decided also to join the church, and he was baptized in Logan, Utah. They came to Bunkerville because of the missionary that was from Bunkerville. His name was actually Bunker, Elder Bunker. And so they came to Bunkerville originally. Now, they didn't settle down right away. They bought some land in Beaver Dam, Arizona, which is just across the border. But then they moved to Mexico, to the Mormon colonies in Mexico. And then they came, then there was the Mexican-American War, and the United States government said the people, the Americans coming out of there, they'd send them to anywhere they wanted to. So they had some friends or something, they went clear up to Oregon. They went to Oregon, and things didn't work out there for them, so they come back here to Beaver Dam. And I don't know why they didn't stay Beaver Dam again, but then they went down to St. Thomas and Kalin, which those are two towns that are now buried under Lake Mead, so they're ghost towns now. But it was awful hot, awful dry, and so they were looking for a little cool weather, and they went back over to Arizona, to the Arizona Strip, up to Mount Trumbull, and they finally settled down there on Mount Trumbull. And so the Bundy family did come from that area. Now, what everybody is not considering is the other side of my family, all right? My grandmother, who was a Jensen, who had family ties to the names of Abbott and to Levitt and to Adams, she grew up here in Mesquite. Now, our range rights here on this Bunkerville Mountain here actually started with my grandmother's side. Now, when my grandfather met my grandmother and married her, he moved back over to here, which again, we had old ties, you know, kind of moving around, but we still had some old ties here, and he married my grandmother, and they inherited some of the old range rights from my grandmother's side. So when people are saying that the Bundys weren't here until such and such a date, and they didn't have the range rights here until such, you know what, they're right. But they're not considering the range rights that were here from my grandmother, all right? And so our rights do trace back to 1877, not all the way in the Bundy family name, but through some of these other names.
The Bundy family was already ranching here long before the Department of Interior was born and long before tortoises were protected. But federal courts say he doesn't have a legal leg to stand on. BLM has long sidestepped the fight, in part because of concerns what might happen if it tried to round up his 500 or so cattle that even now are grazing on forbidden public lands. Bundy says he's always been willing to pay fees, but not if it helps to cut his own throat.
I don't have no problem with that. I've tried to pay it to Nevada State, Clark County, and they've got some of my money in their coffers right now from it. But I'm not going to pay my money to the wrong landlord, and I'm not going to pay my money to BLM to manage me out of business. The federal government has seized Nevada sovereignty, Nevada statehood. They've seized Nevada laws, and they've seized our public land. We have no access to our public land.
Critics say Bundy's being arrogant and that his cattle have caused irreparable harm to Gold Butte's fragile environment. Environmentalists forced BLM's hand by threatening to sue in federal court. The Bureau will pay nearly $1 million to a private contractor to round up Bundy's cows. But with dozens of government agents positioned all around the area for what might take weeks or months, the true cost could be much higher. Bundy's cowhands have time to kill these days because they're prohibited from heading out to work their cattle. And soon enough, there could be no cattle left. The BLM plans to sell off Bundy's herd. Bundy stopped short of saying how far he's willing to take it.
Well, I've fought this thing legally. I've fought it politically. I've fought it through the media. And I will fight it on the ground if I have to.
George Knapp, 8 News Now.
I'm Jacqueline Bush. I was Jacqueline Little Dyke, born up in Ely and raised in a cattle family. The reason I'm here today is because a cousin of mine took over his father-in-law's cattle ranch in Lund, and he was harassed unmercifully. My entire life I have heard of the injustices done to him, and as a family we would often pray that he wouldn't even kill a BLM, and he was so upset emotionally. He became ill and could not fight this illness because his immune system was so compromised because of the stress he was under with BLM. So I'm here today representing Carl Wilfong, who did the very best he could to provide for his family, but the BLM ruined him and us.
Pretty close to the mic. Pretty close to the mic. There you go.
And now we've got one more speaker before me. It's Bob Rat.
Greetings. My name is Rob Raskin. I'm a businessman in Las Vegas, and I'm associated with the Oath Keepers. For those who don't know it, the Oath Keepers are people that have taken an oath to defend the Constitution. It's clear that our government's abandoned it, shredded it, stepped on it, and destroyed it. And that's why I'm out here. The government, the United States government, is obviously behind what's happening here. But the bigger message is that none of our local people who are supposed to be looking out for us are looking out for us. When snipers train their weapons on innocent, unarmed people, where is the governor? Where is Governor Sandoval? Where is Harry Reid? Where is Hemp? Where is Heller? Where are any of them?
People came in, armed. They had practiced. They had maneuvered. They knew what they were doing. They set up snipers in strategic locations with sniper rifles. They had assault weapons. They had automatic weapons. So 600 people. If there were ever an example of people who were domestic, violent,
Rumbler.
Wannabes, these are the guys.
It's that,
and I think that we should call it that way. And
the
remember,
that
not only did Bundy do what I've just said, there are two valid corridors, permanent injunction, get the cattle off the land, pay your fees. But no one called Bundy's a domestic terrorist. I said the people that came there were.
Okay.
What Senator Reid may call domestic terrorists, I call patriots. We have a very different
view. And I said, and if these people think they're patriots, they're not. I use that word typically. If they're patriots, we're in big trouble.
Well, it's a pretty broad brush. Pretty broad brush when you have Boy Scouts there, you have veterans at the event, you have grandparents at the event, and these are people that, as long as they're not promoting violence, in my opinion.
Promoting violence, sniper rifles, talk to Sheriff Gillespie. Automatic weapons, that's grandmothers, that's Boy Scouts. I hope not, because we got more problems with Boy Scouts than whether they can have gay leaders. If that's
yeah, but
the
I
case.
I take more issues with BLM coming in with a paramilitary army of people, with individuals, with snipers. And I'm talking to people in groups that were there at the event, and to have your own government with sniper lenses on you, it made a lot of people very uncomfortable.
Right, because having the BLM armed, that's not a normal way to go in and collect money that's owed to the federal government. So I can understand how scary the situation
must have
been.
They weren't going to collect money. They were going in to get the cattle off land as ordered by two federal courts.
Yeah, but to march an army in there to do that.
There was no army. The army was
300,000 acres. Cut off 300,000 acres, telling people you have no access to these roads.
And that land, that 300,000 acres, federal land, public lands, has been basically decimated.
I want to begin by saying thank you to all of you across the country who have volunteered your time, donated what you could, signed up at HillaryClinton.com. You have voted to make Hillary Clinton the nominee of the Democratic Party. This is your victory. And to everyone who supported Senator Sanders, this is your victory too. I've known Bernie since I was a young staffer for Senator Pat Leahy, and he was mayor of Burlington. He stood up to the special interests and fought to give working people a fairer economy and a bigger say. And those are the same values that he brought to this campaign, and our party and our country are better for it. Donald Trump has different values. He built his career by ripping people off, stiffing contractors, and skipping out on his bills through bankruptcy. He is too erratic, dangerous, and divisive to trust to the White House. You know, I'm a fortunate grandson of Italian and Greek immigrants with a blue-collar dad and a pink-collar mom. I've had the honor to serve two great presidents.
Also be clarified, they shouldn't be presumed or presented as freeloaders. The money stays in their county and in their state.
They're upholding, see, like myself, in lieu of what I used to pay to a grazing fee, I'm asking the county commissioners to put in a production tax so I can support the local government.
But the county government doesn't seem like it wants this land.
No. They want the money. Where does the money come from, my man? Come from Washington down to their little hand.
What we wanted to talk to you about today was, you know, we really want to know if we're going to have any type of physical problems with you guys, because we want to avoid that at all costs.
I'll tell you the best way to avoid that is to start adhering to the Constitution. Recognize that there are rights here that you are violating, and simply do not show up. And all of that will be put to a stop that simply.
Okay.
That's the easy way to handle that.
Well, I have to be honest, and I have to inform you that's not an option.
When you've seen him, use a gun.
You guys have any reason to be out here?
Same as you.
Just hanging out?
Yeah.
Okay. You all know that this is all part of a closure? If you feel like you want to express your First Amendment rights, we have a First Amendment area that's set up for you guys. If you want to go to your First Amendment area, then you're fine by going to the First Amendment area, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, do you know we have a First Amendment right area? Have you guys been out there to it? Okay. Well, that's our First Amendment area, okay? I understand that you guys have strong opinions about what the BLM and Park Service are doing out here, but this is not the place to do it.
You don't have the authority to arrest me. I don't have the authority to take me to jail. You might shoot me, but you really don't have the authority to do that either. Sir,
I think that the only way you're going to get through some of these people is just put the silver bracelets on them and take them, and then maybe they'll think twice about it.
Attorney's office just put out no arrest authority.
No arrest authority? So, okay.
They don't want us to push it.
So even if you scratch them a ticket, they're still going to sit here?
No arrest authority is what
they said. Cite them. If they refuse to give information, we'll figure out who they are. No arrest.
Yeah. Good info.
Could you please leave?
I am going to leave.
Okay, now.
But I can't leave without him.
Okay, he's a grown man.
He is.
Okay, he's being dealt with. Okay? So, this is the last time I'm going to ask you. So your first choice is to leave. Okay? It's your first choice, sir. To leave. To leave. Okay? Sir? Sir, leave now. Leave now. Leave now. Leave now, sir. Leave. We're not playing this game all day. Leave. Okay? Now. I'm gonna drag you out of the car, okay? Here in a second. Leave now. Leave now. You have your children in the car. Don't act like this, okay, sir? You have your children in the car. Just go, Dad. Go, okay? Sir? Sir, don't do this in front of your kids, okay? Leave now, please. Okay?
Take the baby down. I am leaving. I'm in the process of leaving.
Go to the speed limit. Okay? Go to the speed limit.
Hey, guys. We'll have to have you move over to the First Amendment area. Okay? Hey, can you get on the radio and just let them know? See if we can get... Here, come over here. Okay, in the event that they still refuse to move, taking into account that one is pregnant, we need to get permission from them to arrest, okay, because we have a pregnant gal here.
I'm gonna get on the
plane. Okay.
Standpoint, you can be parked on the side of the road, but if once it's your guys's, it's your guys. So.
Well, because of what we have going on here, we need as little interference as we possibly get.
And I understand that, but I think that the only way you're going to get through some of these people is just put the silver bracelets on them and take them, and then maybe they'll think twice about it.
With her being pregnant, I wasn't willing to make that next step without command.
Then she shouldn't put herself in this situation either.
Yeah.
Attorney's office just put out no arrest authority.
No arrest authority? So, okay.
They don't want us to push it.
So even if you scratch them a ticket, they're still going to sit here?
No arrest authority is what
they said. Cite them. If they refuse to give information, we'll figure out who they are.
Good info. Guys, thank you.
Well, I'm sending for your brother. Don't leave him out to dry.
Yeah, whatever.
Are you injured at all?
My neck, my face.
What's wrong with your neck? What hurts?
My neck, right there. I can't really point at it.
Okay. This red spot right here on the side of the neck?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Can you wiggle your fingers?
Mr. Jones, do me a favor. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Don't resist. Do you understand? When a police officer tells you to do something, you do it the first time, okay?
So here's
kids will be okay. Ease up, okay? It's going to be okay. They're getting away. They're getting... They could go to jail very easily.
Okay.
It's my call.
White minivan.
You calling them?
Standby. Looks like they really need that ride.
What do you say? Right here. Make contact. What's he doing? Suspect vehicle is now approaching me unsafely. We'll have to react.
We've taken it down, by the way.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. I want to thank Governor Sandoval for his words, and they did take those First Amendment boxes down. And so, thank you, Governor Sandoval. Yeah. All right. Second, I would like to talk about some things that happened over the last couple days and get a few things cleared up so that everybody understands what happened. First of all, they came in and occupied this land. They used this area right here as the first place to gather the cattle. And they literally locked this land up. They put signs on every road. And if you need proof of that, I can give you that. I think the people know that that's the case. And they literally locked up every road. They had agents on every road. And where there was a large space in between the agents, they put cameras. Okay? This is on American soil they did this. Okay? We need to realize the implications of this. That... they locked down our land. They locked down this wonderful land. The first thing that happened a couple days, it was on Sunday. Dave Bundy was on the side of the road and he was filming them gathering the cattle. And there was five or six units that came down and around 20 agents. And they attacked him. Knocked him to the ground, rubbed his face in the ground, handcuffed him, and beat him up pretty bad. During that confrontation, they took, they impounded his car, and they took his iPad, and they took his radios, he's a pilot, and a few other electronics.
What more are these criminals going to steal?
Yeah, so my call to action is this, okay? Well, let me tell you a little bit of story. We had Dan Love, the head of the BLM, right here at this, whatever it is, this compound over here. He called, and he says, we want to return your items after quite a bit of pressure. So we arranged a meeting over here and met with him to get those items back. Well, they wanted us to sign for these items like they took them legally, and now we're taking them, now we're getting them back as signed in evidence, okay? That's how they're looking at this, that they have every right to be here. However, in that pile of electronics that had taken was not the iPad, and they said that they are keeping it for evidence, okay? Yeah, they're keeping it so the people can't have evidence, because that is the evidence of how they attacked him. And that is the evidence of what they were doing there. Okay? So my call to you, to the people of this country, is to demand that we get that evidence back. Demand it. Okay? Thank you.
Cliven Bundy is on the show. Welcome to the Pete Santilli Show. Federal government has set up corral areas designated First Amendment speech areas. Is that correct? They said that you can only exercise your constitutional God-given rights in a certain small parcel. Is that correct?
Yes, that's hard for me to even believe or understand here in America. Picture this in your mind. You have a guy standing, leaning against the front of his car along the highway in the desert, and then he's approached by all of these cars and all these men. They wrestle him down, abuse him, grind his face into the grass box, handcuff him, and then they transferred him to Henderson, Nevada, and put him in the city jail there overnight. And then they picked him up that next day and took him to the federal prison. And he said, then all of a sudden, their attitude changed. They was very nice. They took off the shackles. They went and got him a snack lunch. And they turned him on out on the streets of Las Vegas.
Officers got close to me, and they said if I don't leave, they will arrest me. And I expressed to them that I'm expressing my First Amendment rights. And reminded them that I was within state right away. And that didn't seem to faze them at all. And Ryan backed up at that point, and I could see that they were getting ready to draw their weapons. Some of them had drawn their weapons. And so they told me again to leave. And I just calmly expressed that, hey, I'm here expressing my First Amendment rights, and I have a right to do it, and I'm not going anywhere. And at that point, two rangers sort of come up kind of to the side of me, and another from the middle, and the guy on the left rushed first, and the guy on the right come in next, and I didn't resist, but they were having, I didn't want to go to the ground very, very hard, very fast, you know, obviously, and so they were having a tug of war, really. They were kind of working against each other, and then the third guy come in and was kicking and punching, and then a fourth guy, and finally went to the ground, and to give him my arms. But at that point, a guy had gotten on my head. He had my knee, one of his knees on my head, and the other one on the back of my neck. And so naturally, I was trying to protect my face from the gravel, so I wasn't giving him my hands very easy. And the thought crossed my mind, they had a dog there, and he was right there barking right beside me. I thought, oh, they're going to turn that dog on me. And then I thought, oh, they got tasers, so I'm going to get a taser. He thought, well, I'll give him one arm, so I gave him this arm here, and that they twisted it up pretty good. And Jay Cox, officer, he was the one on my head, and he just made it a point, once I didn't have my hand to protect my face, he was going to make sure I ate a lot of rocks, and he just shoved and pushed as hard as he could. And I wished at that point that they weren't so slow in getting the handcuffs on me, because I was in quite a bit of pain. Anyway, that's how it went down. They threw me in the back of the truck, in the back seat of one of their trucks. They took me up here to Tok Wok, and I sat in the back of the truck there in Tok Wok for about three and a half hours. And I felt like I was their trophy. And they were even taking pictures.
My grandparents bought the rights for this land over 150 years ago. He is the rightful owner of the grazing rights, and you are the rightful owner of the land. He is not taking anything from the government or any other rancher. He is not ruining or destroying the land. He is the one caring for it. He is the one providing water for the wildlife. He is the one preventing it from wildfires, and he is the one protecting your right to access this land.
On the run, boy, keeps the varmints on the run.
time. Sure, I know you'll be changing your mind when you've seen him use a gun, boy. When you've seen him use a gun, he's the top of the West. Always cool, he's the best.
The fight for grazing rights at Bundy's Ranch is now drawing people from across the country, fueled by cell phone video of BLM officers using tasers and a real physical limitation on First Amendment rights.
I didn't decide to go down until I saw that they had erected the free speech zones, because everybody saw that video, and they knew people were coming to protest. So they put up those free speech zones. And they told everybody that they could protest inside those zones. And they were like miles away from the ranch. And then when people weren't inside those zones, they started arresting people.
Rumors going on, and we saw some video and stuff like that that made us upset about what was going on down there, like the First Amendment zones.
Right.
People getting mistreated, some dogs sick on us, saw an old lady get clotheslined. And that was infuriating. And immediately in me, I was like, I gotta get down there.
Violence from a protest over cattle in Overton. It got to the point where one protester was even tasered. But this was only half of the fireworks with this situation. This is a story that's continuing to gain national attention.
There was one guy that got a little bit out of hand.
Which
guy? And he took down Margaret. Her name is Margaret.
The one that jumped almost and got hit by a vehicle?
56 years old.
The one that almost got, that he hooks with his arm to pull out of the way of a convoy?
What?
He probably saved her life.
Margaret.
And you know that officer? He doesn't push her in the front, does he? You've seen the video. What does he do? He
hooks slammed her to the ground.
No, he hooks her by the waist. Watch the video very closely. He hooks her with one, I think it's this arm, with one arm and pulls her behind him. Now, she obviously loses her balance and goes to the ground, but he's not taking her by the shirt and ramming her into the ground. You can watch the video. You've got the evidence. Look at it.
Have you guys already investigated it?
Yeah, I 100%, trust me.
You have.
I'm all over it. I've got all the blue body recorders. They're all moving. We have our own perspective. Very clear video. Very clear officer statement.
That's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to do.
And I will continue
to investigate it. You look at it. You got somebody that...
I will not allow my officers to exceed or violate the law. I'm looking at you, man to man.
Mm-hmm.
We uphold the United States Constitution. I will hold people accountable.
You're not.
We are.
Get back! Get back! Get back now!
To help bring some light to this bloody massacre of individual water rights in the West, let me explain. The Nevada Division of Water Resources maintains a water registry where all the deeds to Nevada water rights are listed. You can view the actual deed online, see who originally established them, and see who owns them now. Most water rights are created by our pioneer forefathers who established these rights by being the first to beneficially use the water. In 1880, the state of Nevada created the Water Rights Registry and made it possible for our pioneers to file their rights with the state. Nevada's laws, and most other states for that matter, specify that in order to retain water rights, you have to prove that you are putting the water to beneficial use, that you're using it. If you fail to use them, someone else may prove beneficial use, and the right can become theirs. This good law keeps an individual or a corporation from hoarding water and not allowing people to benefit from it. So this is where our federal government in sheep's clothing comes in. Knowing that water is a limited resource, and one that will warrant wealth and power, especially in the future, and desiring that power for themselves, our federal government began a campaign against the citizens of the western states to steal away their water rights, and other resources for that matter. But when it comes to water, all they have to do to accomplish this is get that owner of the water rights to stop using them. Once the owner stops using them, then they can file up on the right and make it theirs. You may be asking yourself, has this really ever happened? Well, in Nevada alone, the BLM has done this 2,715 times. The U.S. Forest Service has done it 2,313 times. The Department of Interior has done it 26 times, and the National Park Service has done it 14 times. Those four federal entities in total have stolen 5,068 water rights from individuals in Nevada alone. With self-appointed power to regulate people off the lands, these federal agencies restrict ranchers, miners, loggers, and other land users from using the land and subsequently the water. In some cases, the federal agencies have later leased or rented the water and other rights back to the very families from whom they stole them from, making the family pay a fee to use what these federal agencies claim as their own, their right. In other cases, the agencies have forced the water right owners to give up claim of the water in order to continue to use the land. There are several other adverse ways in which these agencies have manipulated the resources away from the families. These families that established these rights through hard work and much suffering many, many years ago. Time will not allow me to explain all of them. Needless to say, our federal government is in business for themselves and not for the people. You may recall a year ago I was tasered 3 times. Around 34 over-aggressive federal agents in 13 armed vehicles were escorting a BLM dump truck pulling a backhoe. They had just come off the mountain range on the Bundy Ranch. These federal agents were trying to keep the protesters from seeing what was inside the dump truck. Coming from behind, I sacrificed my ATV by driving in front of the dump truck. After the initial crunch, I calmly stepped off and inquired about what they were doing in our mountains with that backhoe. My answer came in the form of an attack dog and a 50,000 volt double barbed shock of my life. 3 times in a row. Since the answer did not give me much clarification, I crawled upon the dump truck to see for myself. What I saw was even more shocking to me than the taser. I saw pipes, concrete, and cut up water tanks that had been ripped out of the mountain. These were part of a water infrastructure that my family and other ranchers had established in those lands over 100 years ago.
This water was made in 1962.
Was it really?
Yep.
So this one comes straight out of the mountain?
Yep.
It's nice and cool. That's nice.
Fresh.
So that's clean spring water. You could almost bottle that right up then.
Yep, you could right there.
So this is this the first one coming out of the mountains here then?
No, there's actually another one up there higher.
And so they just continue down. I don't know if we got it on video before, but you said they just continue down and they just kind of cycle through.
Exactly. They go clear down. I don't know if you can see, but clear down there as far as I could see.
So they just work their way down. So when this one gets full, the float basically goes off. Yeah, it turns off the valve to this one and the water just flows down to the next one. That's genius.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So it just keeps, basically you can keep this whole, the whole valley sustainable for the animals.
Exactly. These are the improvements we've done to the ranch.
Yeah.
We've rebuilt this because you can see before as it wouldn't have held anything. And so we've rebuilt this and approved it. And like I say, we maintain these waters weekly.
So for scores of years, you've been improving this land, and then the BLM comes in, and they start digging up hose and stuff just because they can. When in fact, this water is what allows, it's not just for the cows, it allows all the life to sustain out here.
Exactly, and no one else would be able to know how to run these waters other than the ranchers.
Right.
Me.
Because you've been out here working it for decades, the families have.
It's all underwater, it's all underground. If you don't know where the pipeline is, then you can never maintain it.
And so what does the BLM do when they find the pipeline? They destroy it so they can make everything not work.
They want to make everything back to where it was, but when it was, there was no water here before.
It wasn't, yeah. It was just dry, wild nature without much use.
As you may have put together, the feds are after my father's water rights. He owns 11 of them. They are deeded to him and filed in the state registry. If the feds could remove the cattle, which they tried, killing around 60 head, then destroy any way to use the waters, this would make it impossible for my dad to claim beneficial use. After that, all the feds would need to do is claim those waters for themselves, the same way they stole the other 5,068 water rights from the Nevada people. You may also find it interesting that the grazing rights in Nevada are deeded with the stock water rights. So destroying my father's water was killing two birds with one stone in the eyes of our so-called federal government.
Look over where the bus
is. They just brought the command unit.
The what unit?
Command unit. Mobile command unit.
They've got a command unit out here. What's that for? That's a paddy wagon.
Yeah, that's a paddy wagon.
Why?
Tensions reached a boiling point yesterday after rangers tased a man twice. Another woman told us a BLM ranger knocked her to the ground.
Hey!
If you're a Facebook fan or whatever, you may know what happened today. It was like a war zone, and I felt like I was not in the United States for sure. Margaret Houston, I'm Clive and Bundy's sister. I was at the picket lines today, Monday. If you're not there, if you haven't been there, you need to go to see what's going on. They have snipers. They have helicopters. They're carrying machine guns. It's not pretty. It's like I'm in a foreign country. And I seen it by on the ground today. We was just at the picket lines, and there have been a few BLM, trucks go by, and we've kind of watched them, and we've seen a bunch of them. There were like 13 or 14 vehicles coming down off the mountain, and so we spotted them, and we noticed that they had a dump truck and a loader, and then a bunch of BLM trucks. So we thought, you know what, we want to know what's in that dump truck and why they used the loader. We're figuring they're up there shooting our cows, burying them in the mountains. So we thought, we're going to go and check them out. And so we did, and they started coming down towards the road, and a couple of them got past me, and I was screaming, go home, we don't want you here. Just get off our land, give our cows back. That was what was being said, mostly that. And I followed the truck down. Some of them had got past me and pulled over, was out of their vehicles. I just followed one of them down and got there. And then there was continuing more coming. And I did get in front of one of the trucks, and I was like this on the front, and he just kept coming. So I just backed up with him, and one of the friends, family, said, Margaret, get off, you're going to get hurt. So I backed up, and then the second truck come, and I was just on the side. I was screaming, hollering. I was flipping. I had my camera. I didn't take one picture. I was just going like this, turning it off and on. But anyway, and I was screaming at him and whatever, and all of a sudden I get hit from the back. and it was like a football tackle. It wasn't a push, and I don't know what you've seen on the news, but it was a tackle. They took me, and he just threw me down to the ground like that. I was a little shocked as I hit the ground. It didn't knock me out or anything. Just a little shocked that somebody would actually do this. I mean, he was very strong. It felt, you know, the muscle, the heart. And somebody helped me up. I got right back up. As soon as I got up, he had his taser shot at my face. I mean, he didn't shoot me. Pointed at my face, and he said, "Back off! I'm gonna tase you." And he kept saying it to everybody, and there was a line of them. They just kept, you know, "Back up! We're gonna let our dog go. We're gonna tase you."
Thank you, Alex. We're here at the protest area, and I've got Ammon Bundy standing right next to me. You know, you were talking about people being tasered last night, and there was some real brutal things that happened there. But I want to let him tell you why they were there. As you mentioned before, this is about rights. If they can take their grazing rights, if they can take their water rights, they can take your rights, your property rights at your home. So if you're not a rancher, you don't know any ranchers because they're going out of business left and right. And this is a small family business that's been here for over about 140 years. And let me let you hear from Ammon what happened last night. He was one of the people that got tasered last night. Ammon, tell us what happened last night.
Well, just to set the area, they've got this land around 600,000 acres completely locked down. If you step off the road, they arrest you. And they don't just be nice about it. They knock you on the ground, rub your face in the ground, handcuff you, and take you off. That's how they're doing it. So they literally, by force, have closed this land off and have occupied it. And one more thing to set the setting here, if almost every wash and every canyon, if you will, here, and every road has either an agent on it or has a camera in it to make sure that people are obedient to what they say. And anyway, I'm not exaggerating that one bit.
That's just
okay. So yesterday we've already had citizens run to the ground and arrested. The other day, and I'll just tell you two incidences. The other day we had a citizen, a 16-year-old boy that pulled off here where he's been his whole life, went down to the river here, and we saw about five or six of their agents or vehicles go down there. And so we rushed over there to protect him because of what happened before, and they were on their way to doing the exact same thing to him. And we had to, you know, basically push them off this 16-year-old boy to get him to and protect him. And we did back him down. There was about 40 of us. Then yesterday, where most of the activity that got a lot of news here, the way it started is they came down off this mountain, and there was 14 units. And one of them was a dump truck with a backhoe on a trailer behind it. And the other 13 units were protection units heavily armed for this dump truck and this backhoe. And we saw them come off this hill, so we took the opportunity to protest them. But we also felt that it was crucial that we understood what in the world was in the back of that dump truck. Mm-hmm. They've been chasing these cattle all over this country, and it's been a hot year so far. It was over 90 degrees already. And these cattle can't run very long before they overheat, and it'll kill them. Also, we know that they've been separating these mothers from their calves. This is calving season for us right now. So they're separating these young calves from their mothers. And we are seeing cattle that have tight bags, meaning where are their calves? Their calves are separated, you know, lying under a bush, getting ready to die or dying. So anyway, we wanted to know what was in the back.
Tell him stay there. Not
possibly. It was
stay there. We're going to break.
Hang on. Stay there. We're going to go to break.
Get back.
There's a question as to why there's backhoes and the dump trucks, because there's a claim right now.
We're not killing cattle.
That's
we're not killing cattle.
We don't know that. That was the whole reason why.
I will tell you right now, we're not killing cattle.
might as well.
Okay. That's some, you saying
there,
that.
There, no, and again, I'm the guy in charge.
Okay.
I do not lie. On behalf of the United States government, I do not lie.
There are no baby cattle
none.
Left out there after you guys have been...
None.
Been, none?
Not killing.
Okay.
They're doing every effort that if they separate a calf, they identify it.
What if I have proof to the contrary?
Well, again, to get every single baby cat that's dead...
Oh, my goodness.
Is that what you're saying?
You guys are leaving them out there.
No, they're roping. If we gather in an area, the specific area we gather in, mm-hmm. anyone that is separated is identified, and they go back and they collect it. Now, if there are baby calves in other areas, that very well could happen.
Well, that's what.
No matter how many people show up there, we want peace, tranquility, cooperation. You guys got to do your jobs. We have to do our jobs.
Absolutely.
You want to know what the end game is? If you guys just say, okay, we got to pick up marbles and go. Whoever tells you guys to do that, ultimately, that's what the objective is. It's not going to be an armed insurrection. It's not going to be bullets or anything like that. The ultimate goal is either by legal authority or however it goes. Your command says, guys, that's it. We're pulling up stakes. We got to go. And that's it. And if it's the sheriff that makes that happen.
Honest to goodness, there's nobody over there that said anything about violence. If there's been talk of guns and stuff like that...
Hey, that's Second Amendment right. Carry a gun. We don't care.
Carry a gun legally, lawfully, yeah. Okay?
Some messaging we got back. And again, right to bear arms, we're fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, our officers, public lands, you get to shoot on public lands. We deal
legal.
With
legal. I mean, if you're
yeah,
illegal.
Yeah,
legal.
Legal possession?
Legal's good. Absolutely. And again, I don't have a problem with guns. I mean, you know, it's a Second Amendment.
I don't either.
So, you know,
but you know what? That's not what this is about. We're not here. This isn't an armed insurrection. This is a protest.
From some people that the government is actually burying cattle on this land. What, if anything, do you know about that?
Well, because the land has been so tightly occupied and we have not been able to get on it, we don't have any proof of that. Believe me, people, if I can, my brothers and my sisters, if I can call you that, there are many things that are going on right now that we have not talked about because we don't have a picture to show you, or we don't have a dead calf to show you, or we don't have a cow with a tight bag that's missing her calf to tell you.
Because they stole
and
them.
And so we are collecting that evidence, and as we come back each day, we will have that evidence and show you these things, so that we can be legit about it and prove that these things are happening. So.
Hammond?
Yes.
Got a question. It's being reported right now in the alternative media that there are corporate interests that are driving this thing, not just the federal government. The corporate interests right now are driving in the north eastern portion of Nevada, water rights, mineral rights, as well as natural resources. Do you know anything about that? Is that what's driving this thing? Is that why the BLM's working so hard?
I know nothing about that. But I do know that they are extremely motivated. Someone's extremely motivated to take this land away from this people. Exactly what their motives are, I don't know. Other than control and power and glory. That's the only thing that I can know.
Second question: don't you deserve an investigation into whether or not they're burying cattle and who's driving this thing, the corporate interest? Should there be an investigation?
Yes, I believe that the people ought to unite and demand that there's... I apologize. The people ought to unite and demand that there's an investigation in these matters. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, meanwhile, while we're having this conference, we got baby calves that are dying and cows that are suffering. So.
Whose hay is that?
BLM.
So the BLM is purchasing hay to slaughter this man's cows.
Yeah. Well, that was just part of the you know, look good. You know what I mean? Because obviously, where is it? Yeah. They go and drop it off at some farm somewhere where it could be used. There it is sitting right there. What's this here? It's got somebody here. One truck. Looks like they're getting something. Or they're filling something. That's a backhoe. second if he's not with us. Unless he happens to be a Bundy, which is looking like from here.
Corey, Houston? Houston, like Texas. And Corey and I went around, he took us around all around this property. Well, not all around it, because 600,000 is too much, but showed us where those bulls were that BLM's were responsible for their execution. And then there this site, which we didn't get to get into until BLM left. And that's what we're doing, is this is the mass grave where the genocide of the Bundy's herd took place. Now there's the backbone of a cow in there that he's probably filming down there now, but the expectation is that there's going to be 30 or so maybe head of cattle in here. But we'll see, because they might have left a bunch of them, shot them out in the, out that 600,000 acres.
There might be just one.
There might be just one, but it's a pretty big hole.
They sure did dig a pretty big hole, so they were anticipating more.
You can see that soil in this hole, where on all around it, where it's had it's settled and it's firmed up, and you can see where Corey's digging. So this wasn't dug by him today. Just a section off the top here, he scratched off. You can see the different colors of soil. So this is an old hole that was dug by BLM and the rest of their murderous friends, and to put those the cattle in. So it'll probably be quite disgusting anyway to see this, but it'll be necessary so we can determine who the domestic terrorists really are.
That on video, Trace, and Facebook. Hey Trace,
yeah.
Come over here on your camera and take a picture of that and Facebook it right now. And we need to take the Wi-Fi and turn it on in the truck, because if somebody shows up out here and tries to confiscate our camera, it's already out.
Fresh, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, that's sad.
That's Mr. Harry Reid and all the people that work for him. These people need to be brought to justice, man. Folks, this isn't 1945 during the Holocaust. This has happened in 2014 right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Or near Las Vegas, Nevada. And that is fresh blood coming out of that cow's head right there. I know this for some of you may be hard to watch, but you need to see it in America. You need to wake up. You'd say, oh, well, it's just a cow. Well, it's going to be your house. It's going to be your children's home they're going to come after next.
Well, at first it was kind of like it was unreal, you know, because I am a little grandma on a little tiny farm in little tiny Bunkerville, Nevada, and I really didn't, we didn't expect this. It was kind of like unreal that it wasn't really happening in our country, in America, that this really couldn't be happening. And they came in like vigilante, thank you. And they just came in and they tore out water structures that had been there for hundreds of years. They killed my cattle. They terrorized the people of the town and then flipped it around saying that we had done that. They were just totally out of control. I say we embarrassed the federal government because they had come with force and we said, no, we have a constitutional right to stand and we are going to stand. We had a lot of people calling and saying, what can we do, what can we do? And we realized that we needed some bodies. And so when they arrested my son and they had over 300 head of cattle, that's when we put out, they have my son, they have my cows. It's time to take a stand. I've had a restless night for 2 months.
Since
trial started, as I've sat there and watched the, in my opinion, the evil of that court. It's an overreaching government who does not want anybody to speak out. They're on a roll and they've got control and they don't want to lose their job. They'll say, we're just doing our job. They'll tell me, we're just doing our job. I still have faith in the jury system and I think that they're very lucky that they have a good jury. They would not let us bring our witnesses in that they needed. She told them if the witnesses came that it was an ongoing case and that they better have their lawyer with them and be prepared to walk out in handcuffs. Well, you know, up in Oregon when my sons got guilty up there, they came back down and said, oh, they've learned a lot. And I just look at them and say, so did we. Mm-hmm. So did we. We've learned a lot too. I think when you stand for truth and righteousness, you stand with God. And that's where we stand. It's in his hands.
God's country here. Clive and Bundy. Here you go. A whole bunch of domestic terrorists down here. And he says it's not over. I don't know what he's planning on, but... I was here when they were pushing the issue, and if he wants to push it further, the only thing he has is violence and coercion. If Harry Reid wants to push the issue, violence and coercion is all he has. And the government's good at that. You know, some people have experienced it, but ain't nobody here looking for that. You know, cows eat grass. There's grass here. I don't understand the problem. The grass pack.
they seem to be a concern of, the media seems to have a concern about having militia having checkpoints. I don't know quite what they mean, but we do have a checkpoint at our gate coming into our house where they're making sure somebody don't come in, I guess, to hurt or harm us. They are a little bit of traffic control there, so I appreciate that. They're helping out where we're not being mobbed, I guess, with too many visitors. But when it comes to out here on the public land and throughout the county, we got to remember we're fighting for freedom and liberty and for access, and everybody has equal rights and equal access here. We don't, there's not no force here. There's no requests from me or my family to, we've had two incidents that seem to be bothering the media, and it even bothered me a little bit. When we went to a church a week ago Sunday, we understood that the church policy was that we shouldn't have arms. And so we left our arms in the car. We didn't take them to the church or anything like that. They was left inside of our car. We did feel like that. I felt like anyway that the not the local police, the policeman from Mesquite, Nevada, which has no jurisdiction or authority in Bunkerville, they seemed to circle the chapel and caused a little trouble there. I don't know why they would do that. But anyway, I think those people have put a little fear into my neighbors and into my church members. And I don't like that. I think that's totally unfair to my friends and my church people. I don't like that at all. And that was, as far as I know, it wasn't done by Metro, Clark County Police, sheriff office or anything like that. It was only done by Mesquite police acting out of their jurisdiction and out of their duty. So they was a little, I had a little feeling of thought there. The other instance was there was some cattle coming out of Arizona, coming down along the Arizona-Nevada line, which is a neighboring my ranch. And I knew those cattle were moving. So I sent one of my sons to check on those cattle. They could have been cattle of mine in them trucks. And when they checked on those cattle, they found they had an Arizona brand inspection with them, which made them, that was a proper way to move those cattle. I did get a call from the truck owner saying that they was moving cattle for Jones, which was which is a neighbor in Arizona. And they just said if they got, I don't know what the name was on a truck, but if we see that name on a truck, that that's what they're doing, moving Jones' cattle. And what Jones is doing is he's moving cattle out, off this area, moving them back into Utah, and then putting them on higher elevation, another ranch with higher summer range. So they were the only two instances I know of anything about my neighbors complaining about what's going on here. My desire would be to have all of my neighbors join with us and enjoy the activities, the picnic, and all these type of things. And you know, I have no conflict with them, and I don't think they have any conflict with me. They never have, and I don't know why they should have at this point.
Yeah, a little bit different than last Saturday. There was still plenty of food, but not like this. They're putting on a show now. We'll show you what's on the grill. Plenty of hot dogs. How you doing? Get some.
Get them off the grill. I mean, there's some cooking on the grill.
Well, hey, Jason Turner, I'm guessing that you're the viewer, so I see messages, but I can't see them coming up, but I'm showing one viewer, so I'm guessing that's you. Can you give me a heads up on whether that link is good or not?
Yeah. Do you have your YouTube or whatever it is?
How you doing?
How's it going?
Going good.
Still hanging around.
I sure am. That's a beautiful picture, especially compared to the conditions on the ground last weekend. I mean, glad I came back. last weekend was interesting, and this weekend is just freedom-loving Americans having a barbecue on a place where guys were trying to push them off with guns. Only in America, only in a free country.
Even though Governor Sandoval did a nice little piece in here, and we are appreciative of that, he has not done enough, not even close to doing enough. And we can't let him off the hook. He must come to our rescue. And Sheriff Glisky must come to our rescue. I just thank you again for coming. And we got one more question over here.
When the BLM has their authorized Mustang roundups, there's a designee from the concerned Mustang groups that has to be on site, or they cannot gather any horses. Is there anything like that set aside for the well-being of the cattle that are being gathered? Are there any parties or anybody on site to make sure the welfare of the cows, or anything being done about that?
No, we haven't asked for it though, but the way I look at it, maybe I'm wrong because I'm not as diplomatic as I should be. They shouldn't be here, and I shouldn't have to be watching them do their damn dirty work.
That's right. Right.
So that's all the questions that I'm taking right now. I want to thank you, and please support. Keep coming, and we'll be back here again at 1 o'clock.
So this is like a federal staging area right here. This is Friday morning. And they're still here. Every day we've been here, there's a large contingency of feds out here in this closed area. And this is one of their staging areas, remote from everywhere else. The first time we went by, it had a sign up that said media. I don't know if this is one of the approved areas for the media. That sign is no longer there, just all cops. And you can see how far removed this is, but of course, we're talking about an area here that's 600,000 square acres. It's humongous. And the range over which only these 900 cattle, before they started stealing them, are ranging, is just larger than pretty much any of us can imagine. We just drive and drive, and it's all this vacant land because the federal government is trying to assert ownership and control over every single bit of it. And that's just one area back there. David Knight for InfoWars.com. All right. You think they're policing the no-fly zone up there, or what?
Well, I'm sure they are a little bit. Those guys have got nothing else to do but drink coffee and eat donuts. And if somebody gives them something to do, they'll do it. So they're probably policing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you've got an Oath Keepers cap on. Is Stuart Rhodes going to be here?
My understanding is Mr. Rhodes will be here. I talked to to my director in California, and he's indicated to me yesterday that he had just gotten off the phone with Mr. Rhodes and that Mr. Rhodes would be here. But again, that's only reporting. I don't know that for a fact. I've not talked to Stuart. But that's not my fault, Stuart.
Okay, good. And you were in the military, sir?
I was in the military. I went to Vietnam twice.
Oh.
Back in the 60s, 63, 64. Went to Vietnam, and I worked a helicopter off of an aircraft carrier. I wasn't a pilot. I was a simple machinist mate. But my job was, when the medics brought the guys in the chopper, pull them in, scoot them in the corner, and we took them back to my ship, the USS Kitty Hawk. Kitty Hawkers, hey out there. We took them on board the USS Kitty Hawk, tried to save their life and medically attend them.
Well, tell us why you're here today.
I'm here today because the United States of America has sent in an army of over 200 people. To the best of my knowledge, that number is right. But they've sent in people that are illegal.
They're wearing a badge. They're not allowed to wear a badge. They're carrying a sidearm. They're not allowed to carry a sidearm. They're carrying long guns. That's illegal. BLM is an agency of environmentalism. They are not an army. But they came in here, they beat people up,
yes.
They stole their cattle, and they acted like a foreign invading army. And that ought not happen in the United States of America. I fought in Vietnam for this country, and I fought that we'd not have armies rising up from the White House. And that's exactly what's happened.
It's not only the armies that got rising up, they've got their own legislators, right? Because they've got unelected legislators who are basically writing laws for us, and then they have their own law enforcement people to enact it. What you're talking about, these BLM agents, they use them as if they were law enforcement or an agency to enforce their laws, and none of this, you don't have any BLM officials on the ballot, do you?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And not only that, they're official only to the Bureau of Land Management.
Mm-hmm.
That means they control water. That means they control environment. They should not be carrying a badge. I can put a badge on my shirt. That don't make me an officer.
Mm-hmm.
No more than going in a garage makes me a car.
Have you seen the story that links Harry Reid's son to a Chinese solar company, ENN, a $5 billion project to take place, to be set up in this area? And in those documents we found at InfoWars, that they actually mentioned Clive Bundy and the need to get him off so they could proceed with their project.
We've strayed away from that a long way. But bottom line, it is time for the people of this wonderful country to realize that our lives, our liberties, and our properties are at stake.
Yes.
And if we don't stand up, it will only be us to blame.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me come.
Thank you for standing with us again. Can you give us your name?
Yeah, my name again is Dave Miller, and I'm glad to be here with you guys.
Thank you. County Commissioner from Utah.
Yeah, I'm a County Commissioner in Utah.
Thank you, thank Mr. Miller. Thank you very much.
Mr. Miller, I'm Wiley Drake. Well, I want to just give you a call. I do a television internet show. Hello?
These are some of the Bundy family members right here talking. The two guys facing each other have both been attacked. The one on the right is Dave Bundy, and he was the first one who was arrested. That was an association, I believe, with filming. And then Emin Bundy on the left in the black shirt was the one who was tasered multiple times the other day. His aunt was attacked from behind and thrown to the ground. So we're waiting to see what happens. We're still waiting for an announcement as to what happened with the meeting. We're waiting for the sheriff to show up.